from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. We noted during a show earlier this month that the Missouri General Assembly was very productive over the 2026 session. The last week did not feature the typical melodrama that stalls legislation, but rather lawmakers actually debating and sending bills to Governor Mike Kehoe. One measure that was sent to the GOP chief executive near the last day of session moves a slew of school-related elections in St. Charles County from April to November. GOP State Senator Adam Schnelting's bill passed through the House by a closer-than-usual margin, mainly because a number of Republicans crossed party lines to vote against it. Still, backers of the idea contend that it will bolster interest and civic participation in important elections with real financial consequences. That includes State Representative Richard West, a Wentzville Republican who handled the legislation in the House. West joins us right now. Representative, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Afternoon, Jason. Thank you for having me here.
Before we touch on the discourse around the legislation, I want to talk about what it actually does. Currently, St. Charles County School Board elections are held in April. When would the first November elections take place under this bill?
So the first November elections would take place in 2028, November of 2028.
And this bill mentions that school board members would be subjected to four-year terms instead of three, correct?
Currently, we have three-year terms. It would move them to four-year terms, yes.
Now this is not unprecedented. There are other school boards around the state that have either 4 or 6 year terms, but why four instead of three?
So four would put it in those even years to be in the November elections, even years of voting with other issues to get higher voter turnout.
This would move school bond initiatives from April to November as well. Why?
Bond indebtedness and any tax issues, actually.
I was going to ask that as my follow-up question. So if, for instance, a school district wanted to just straight up raise its property levy, it would also be for November, correct?
It would have to be November, correct.
So what is the thinking behind that?
So, look, I'm a huge transparency person. I believe more voter turnout is better. If we're going to raise our taxes and elect people in our school boards, which are very important things, I deal with what's called voter fatigue. We have huge elections in November. Then come April, people are just, they're tired with the political process. They don't know or they don't understand what's going on with it. And then they either don't vote or they forget to vote or they're just too busy.
April is often when cities and counties have tax increases or bond issues, but is there also a drive to move them to November? People would say what's good for the goose, in this case, St. Charles County government or Wentzville City government, wouldn't it be good for the gander, so to speak?
So, yeah, I mean, my original bill was to move all of the April elections that wouldn't be a special, but all of the April elections to the November elections. I can't stress, I believe more people at the voter block is going to have a better turnout on what the people in the area believe in.
The other thing that is notable in this bill is it will allow people to put either a R or a D, or I guess an L, next to their names.
Libertarian.
Unfortunately, no NL, which is the Natural Law Party, which is about around transcendental meditation. But why do you think that's necessary, given that almost all school board races across the state are nonpartisan?
So school board races are nonpartisan, but to say they are not political would be doing an injustice to the school districts. Every school district race that I see has some politics in it one way or another. All this, let's first touch on this piece of the legislation here. This is not a mandatory issue. This is totally voluntary by the candidate, and the candidate can reach out to the their elections authority and say, I want to declare I'm affiliated with A party, B party, C party, and that I want that printed next to my name on the ballot. That's all it would do.
I guess I have a question on the practicality of this that may come from a different angle. We'll hear about the other criticism of this later. There are plenty of Republicans in Jefferson City who do not hold quote-unquote conservative views on education policy, such as like providing direct support to private schools through vouchers or tax credits or whatever, or they don't support open enrollment. So would placing a party label on candidates really be that helpful, given that partisanship is not an automatic arbiter of somebody's views on education?
So, you know, that would be strictly up to the candidate themselves on what they choose to do, if they think it would help them. Now, they don't – like when I go to the ballot or go to the Secretary of State's office, I have to declare with the party. This would not require that. This would just allow the candidate to self-identify. And I just think it's another way when people are trying to weed out who they want to vote for. That's another way, not the only way. If anybody does that, the only way, that shouldn't be done that way. But it also helps them to kind of, if you claim yourself as a Republican or a Democrat, you have party, your party has guidelines that, you know, you should be following. And I think that if I look down and I see an R or a D, it would follow what their party says they should be doing, or the outlines of their party, and would help me make a better decision on where this person stands generally.
Yeah, I think that, again, would be the case for most issues. If you saw an R next to somebody's name, I would say 9 times out of 10, they're probably going to be against abortion rights, against gun control. But again, for education, it's not really that cut and dried. So I'm guessing I'm just asking again, how informative is that to people? If I guess that's maybe a reason why they would have to actually learn more about the candidates before voting and not just depending on the R, D, or L after their name.
Well, as I said when we first sat down, it's all about transparency for me. Mm-hmm. If that's one way for me to single that person out and do more information on them because I see an R or D and I start with them first. Again, I can't say enough that if you're just voting based upon that criteria, I don't think you're doing it justice.
Why does this only apply to St. Charles County and not other parts of the state?
Well, you know, the original bills, both mine and Senator Schnelting's bill, encompass the whole state. Through the debate process on the Senate floor, it was chosen to put an amendment on this bill to only have St. Charles County. And the reason Senator Schnelting and myself are pushing for this, our county, the constituents in my county, our county government just had a resolution passed in county government. The majority of my county, not to mention my district, supports this and has been asking. I've ran this bill for 5 years now.
This bill did not pass by a landslide in the House after some procedural havoc, which if you really want to get into it, you can. But I think it's not really that important because it did pass.
It did.
It only passed with 83 votes, which is one more vote than needed to finally pass a bill in the Missouri House. Why did it have more trouble than other bills that Republicans put to the floor in getting across the finish line?
So, as you stated before, there are Republicans that have different views on schooling and school choice and school, you know, how we deal with schools. Rural areas typically deal with their schooling different than the urban areas. There were Republicans. I'm not going to say they didn't go with party lines. I don't know that this was a party line vote. There were people on the Democrat side that supported this, but maybe not voted for it, but supported the initiative. So this isn't a party line vote. But for their school districts, maybe their superintendent came to them and said, look, we're a big supporter of everything that goes on this county, your schools. We would recommend that you not vote for it. And if that's your district and you feel you don't need to vote for it, then so be it. Now, the vote was 83 to 81, and I lost 3 votes because this was the last day of session in the afternoon. So some folks had to leave. We had an emergency. Somebody left. And so, yeah, it was a very close vote.
Not to be pedantic, but I did look at the vote total, and there were also a lot of people that didn't vote. So I don't think it was exactly 83 to 81,
sure.
But I see your overall point. You've argued that this bill would increase voter turnout in these races, which I think is almost certainly true, because if even the people that were happy about the April elections would concede, the turnout was much lower than would be in a November election. So that is undoubtedly true. But would it increase intention on these races, especially when they're statewide races, statewide ballot initiatives, county executive elections, state legislative races also on the ballot? Is there some concern that this could get lost in the shuffle?
So I've talked in depth with my my elections authorities, other elections authority. There is concern that it puts a lot on the ballot, but it also we've also talked about the fact that the people already there voting, you can undervote. You can choose not to vote on an issue if you don't understand the issue or you don't know the answer. I just feel that this will bring, when people are already at the voting block on these specific issues during this time, you're going to get a better voter turnout. You're going to get a better voter participation. I mean, in our general elections, we're between 40 and 50%, and in April election, we're down to 14%. I think that's has a lot to do with just voter fatigue on different issues. We just had all this voting now. I've forgotten to vote in an April election because I had something going on and I couldn't break away to do it. And, I just think too many different voting dates. Now you talk about carve outs and special issues. You just put a special issue on a special date and nobody shows up and you get your initiative passed because all the people that want to vote for it show up to vote and nobody else does.
I was going to tisk about you not voting in an April election, but I have also missed April elections before too, even though I've tried to vote as much as I can. So this legislation came as self-identified conservative school board candidates have been losing as of late in St. Charles County. And when I say self-identified, they literally have the words conservative on their sign. So this is not a pejorative. I'm being very literal here. And this includes a contest for the Francis Howell School Board. I spoke last month with Jamie Martin of Francis Howell Families, a group that campaigned for candidates who did not self-identify as conservative.
After 2 years of them losing, that entitlement really showed this year when they slapped conservative on all of their stuff and just refused to reflect. Doubled down. The vitriol was very obvious on their side of the fence. Our voters are very turned off by that. Our tone and our brand is bold civility. You can have any opinion you want. We're not going to block you as long as you're civil.
That was Jamie Martin of Francis Howell Families, a group that supported school board candidates in St. Charles County, and specifically that school district, who did not self-identify as conservative. So I think that's been the biggest criticism of this legislation. That the critics see these school board elections not going conservatives' way, and they see this as sort of like sour grapes that you're trying to move to a more advantageous election cycle. I want you to respond to that because I think if there's been anything that I've heard that probably deserves a response, it's probably that.
So let's start off with the fact that this did not come as a factor of that, as an issue of that. Like I said, I've carried this bill for 5 years.
When, by the way, conservatives were winning school board races,
yeah, absolutely.
By the way. So it can continue.
Absolutely. So this has been an issue in St. Charles County that was going on long before I got there. We want to have higher turnout in our school board races, in our voter rolls in April. That hasn't happened. So we want to move those to November. Now, again, this wasn't as a result of anybody losing any school board race. If I have 40% of the people turn out, and no matter who gets elected, I just think that's better for the people of St. Charles County. It has nothing to do with conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat. It's just I want a better representation of people choosing the school board, because what happens is the school board, whoever it is, be conservative or liberal or Democrat or Republic or even independent, gets in and then people say, well, I didn't know that was happening, or a tax bond gets passed and they say, I didn't know that was happening.
My last question for you, do you think this could eventually apply everywhere? Especially if it does increase attention and civic participation in St. Charles County?
Well, I will say this. A lot of the debate or a lot of the questions I had from representatives when I was whipping the vote and working on, getting the final numbers was, why is my county not doing this? Why is my school district? Why aren't my school districts involved? And I said, well, basically that comes down to your senator. Your senator could have asked for it on the floor and been included. Right now, it was only St. Charles County that was interested in this issue.
State Representative Richard West is a Republican who represents several municipalities in St. Charles County, including Wentzville. Representative, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
The Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air is produced by Jason Rosenbaum Alex Hoyer, Emily Woodbury, Danny Wisentowski, Maya Norfleet, and Elaine Cha. The politics editor is Fred Ehrlich.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.